Chapter 16, Acts chapter number 16. We started a message this morning. I want to try to conclude that tonight and realize a lot of things could be said, will not get said, but we'll try to obey God, do what God would have us to do in the service this evening. I appreciate what God did for Christian, and my heart overflows with joy in that. But I long to see others come to know the same Jesus he knows, come to know the same joy that he knows, and come to know the same one that is going to take him to heaven, that can take you to heaven too. And I pray that God would speak to hearts tonight and do what he wants to do in this service and help us that are saved, that we may be yielded unto him and him have his way of our hearts and our lives. Acts 16, verse number 19, will you stand please? Just in honor of the word of God, standing while we read. This morning I gave a kind of a background for this and what had happened. And of course, this soothsayer, this one that was following Paul, had gotten saved, and her owners realized that they weren't going to make any money off of it. And so they got upset at Paul and Silas. Notice verse 19, and when their masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Let me pause there to say this. When they went into the Jewish places, and they preached, and they would tell about the truth about the Lord Jesus, the Jews would run them out of town. And they wouldn't beat them or get rid of them, wanted to get rid of them. Now they're in the Gentile area, and then they're accusing them of the same thing with them. And so Christianity is different from all of it. Amen. The fact is, Christianity, and I want to say a little bit more about that a little bit later, but Christianity is not religion. Religion is man-made. Christianity is God-given. Thank God for the reality of Christianity. I'm thankful to be a Christian. Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, Christian over here, he's got it made. His name's Christian, and he is a Christian. I was talking to a family up in Rural Retreat one time. I don't know if I'll do this or not, but anyway, some people watch on internet. But I was talking to a family up in Rural Retreat one time and sitting in a home, and I asked them if they were a Christian. And up in that area, we had some folks whose last name were Christians. Little boy sitting in the floor said, no, we're the boards. So no matter what your name is, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And your Lord. Amen. You need that. Before was I? I was reading here somewhere. Amen. That these Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, wakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. That's an amazing statement we'll get to a little bit later. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to have the Word of God, to read and to study and to glean from these great truths, some truths for ourselves. I thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have, the sweet spirit been prevailing in the service. And I thank you, Lord, that Christian got saved. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've done and doing with young folk. I pray for them and ask you to help them. Encourage them in these days, Lord, to love you and to serve you. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help us as moms and dads and granddads and grandmas that we'll do what we need to do. And, Lord, to help this generation coming on to know God. And I pray the Holy Spirit would tonight work in hearts. And, Father, you know every person here that's unsaved. I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction, draw them to Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I realize my littleness, my weakness, and inability. But, Lord, I lean on you tonight. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for your help. And I pray the Holy Ghost help us, Lord, to preach. Take the Word of God, speak to hearts. Do the work in the hearts that need to be done. We'll thank you and praise you. And all that you do in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. As we look at this tonight and this morning, I said if I would try to title it, I'd title it Five Elements of True Midnight Revival. Five Elements of True Midnight Revival. And we talked about the fact of being the time that it is in which we now find ourselves living. And again, I repeat and want to say it very emphatically that I believe that Jesus Christ may come at any moment of time. Jesus may make the shout and the cry be made, come up hither, and the trump sound, and we that are saved, the dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that rapture of the church shall take place, and it will come. Now those who have all gone on before us by the way of the grave, they're not in the grave. The body will be resurrected out of the grave. Their soul spirit's yonder with God. And Jesus said, I'll bring them with me. That means he's bringing them back with them. They're already there. They're coming back to get glorified bodies. And we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and be with the Lord. Now, what I'm trying to drive at, we're living in those days when Jesus shall come. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming. You and I are living in darkness, in a dark world, not in darkness. If we're saved, we're living in light. But if you're not saved, you're in darkness, and darkness is everywhere. And people are perishing and going to hell. And our world has gone pleasure mad and seem like things are all out of kilter and nothing is in the right place to be. But I'm glad the church is standing where she needs to stand. There will be a church preaching the Word of God till Jesus comes and takes us out. There will be somebody somewhere telling the truth. There'll be somebody somewhere baptizing people. There'll be somebody somewhere trying to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. I am glad, thank God, to be a part. And I praise God for the privilege. And I was talking to Brother Bill before service, and we were talking about missions, and I'm glad that we can be a part of missions and getting the gospel around the world and trying to reach others for Christ. This morning I talked about as we near Jubilee, just 1 week from today, 1 week from today, if Jesus does not come and take us out of here, we'll be in Jubilee. And glory, hallelujah, I get excited about that. But now, in preparation for that, again, it doesn't just happen. I talked about the praying, the supplication. Look in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed. They made supplication to God. And we talked a whole lot about praying this morning. We're not trying not to repeat all of that, but simply say that revival is rocked in the cradle of prayer. And we must pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray one for another. And then we need to pray for the preachers that's coming in. doing the preaching. We need to pray for singers who'll be singing. We need to pray for those who'll be coming in that need help. We need to pray for sinners that's lost without God. We need to pray for those who've been saved and they're discouraged and falling afar off and need a touch of God on their life. We need to pray for all of these that God will help them and encourage them. And God can do whatever it is that needs to be done. Number two, I want you to see this element of this true revival at midnight. Here it's midnight and they're in the prison and they're praying. But notice something else they did. And sang praises unto God. And sang praises unto God. I thought about that verse. And they sang praises unto God. Singing is so important. And we do need to pray. A while ago I made this statement. I said I'd say a little bit more a little bit later. Christianity is not religion. If you put Christianity in religion, then we don't. Because religion's man-made. But all man-made religions do not have hymn books. Christianity is the only one that has hymn books. You know why? We're the only ones got anything to sing about. They may have chant books. They may have books they read out of. They may chant and they may do a lot of things. But they don't have hymn books like we have hymn books. They don't have songs like we have songs. Tonight, just think about that's choir saying, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. What he'd done in the past, he's able to do it again. Amen. I'm glad for that. I thank God for that. And did I mention to you that I love him? I want to testify. What a song. Amen. I love him because he first loved me and gave himself for me. That's worth shouting about. Amen. And singing. Hey, praise God for singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What a song. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I say hallelujah for all these songs. Amen. And they're all good. And I if I break out in a song here in a minute, amen. That singing's vital. It's important. You say, we really haven't jubilee if you break out in a song. Amen. And but I'm telling you, there's a song in my heart. There's something down inside. The psalmist David said in Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, established my going out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going, have put a new song in my mouth. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, there's a new song. Amen. I know that Elvis Presley made this jailhouse rock song popular in his day. Some of you youngins don't remember that. I won't comment on that. But anyway, I want you to know it wasn't the first jailhouse that ever rocked. I just read you about one that rocked. Amen. But it wasn't the kind of rock they sang about. It wasn't that kind of stuff. It was something God did. Amen. I tell you tonight, they songs better than that. They songs about Jesus, songs about our Lord, songs that tell about Jesus Christ and a wonderful love that he did for us. I say praise God for the song. The song service is vital to the service. And never forget that choir. Every night during Jubilee, you remember that choir is vital to the service. We've had folk call in and talk about the choir and how they enjoyed the choir. They enjoyed the preaching. They enjoyed the service. Enjoyed the fellowship and said that choir. And they really enjoyed the choir and talking about that. And I say praise God for it. I rejoice in that. They'll talk about somebody else singing, Rollins or somebody singing, or whoever it is singing, and talk about that. Listen, God uses singing. Prepare hearts for preaching. And it's good. Isn't it good to come together? And the Bible teaches us to give praises unto God. And singing's praising God and giving him glory, singing about him. I can't understand. My little old mind is so little. I can't understand all the songs that can be written about him. But the love of God How rich and pure. Brother Tim sung, I believe, the other night. That love of God that cannot be written. If every man on earth was a scribe and ever feather quill, or whatever that, however it goes, I don't know what it is. Anyway, a quill is taking a feather and dipping it in ink and writing. Said, if all that and the parchment, heaven was parchment, ocean was ink. Said, drain it dry to light the love of God. I say, hallelujah. That's powerful, amen. That's a good song. I praise God for it. I rejoice in it. And I told you I was going to try to get through this, but I'm telling you, singing, I love singing. Anybody that loves singing better than I do has to be bigger than I am. And praise God for singing. And sing praises unto him and give him glory. And many times it's during that song service that God works in hearts and begins to prepare them and loosen them and soften them so they can hear preaching and accept what God has to say. I appreciate the singing around here. And I say glory, hallelujah. I appreciate what God does. And here they were. They've been beaten, striped, bloody, and then thrust into prison. And they were in stocks in the inner prison and made sure they could not escape. Notice the next phrase in that verse, verse 25. They prayed, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And the prisoners heard them. Now here, I just want to speak on this subject just for a minute. They were totally surrendered to the will of God. They've been praying, they were singing, and the prisoners heard. They wasn't saying, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And of course, Amazing Grace hadn't been written. They wasn't singing Amazing Grace, period. But they probably singing one of the Psalms, and they were singing about the shepherd, or they were singing some of those songs. But I believe they wasn't praying, now, Lord, please help me. I believe in their cells they were laying there bleeding and surrendered totally to God, saying, Lord, these folk don't know you, and they're lost, and they need God, and they need to hear about Jesus. And I believe they're praying that kind of prayer. And I believe that jailer, he didn't know what he was doing, and he needs some help. And we need these men in here in prison. They're thieves and maybe murderers, and they need help. And Lord, we know that you saved us. By your grace, you can save them. I believe they were praying for them. I believe they're praying for maybe a church back in Philippi. Maybe they were praying and thanking God for what he'd done for them. I don't know how they were praying, but they were praying and singing praises. And so they were so surrendered to the will of God that it didn't make any difference who heard them. It didn't make any difference all around them, those rough men undoubtedly that were in the prison. Now, notice closely verse 25. It says the prisoners heard them. That's more than one. I don't know how many they were, but there were more than one of them that heard them. Had to be at least two, and maybe many more. I don't know how many there were, but I'm going to get to that in a minute too. But just hang on to this. All that were in there heard them praying, heard them singing, and it did something to that crowd. It did something to that crowd. Now, I want you to notice here we find they were supplicating, they were praying, they were singing, and they were surrendered to the will of God. They weren't complaining and talking about these cruel men, what they'd done to them. And they were leaving a good taste, surrendered to the will of God. Here they are, not their fault. They're doing what God wants them to do, and problems come. They get beat. They get thrust into prison. They get locked in stocks. But they're not calling a lawyer, and they're not calling and complaining. They're calling on God, praising his name and singing praise unto him. Amen. Now notice the surrender, not only that, but the soul winning part of this. Look at it. In verse number 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Paul and Silas's bands fell off. And every prisoner in there, their bands fell off. Every door in the prison was opened up. That's what it says in that verse right there. God shook the place immediately. Now, I want you to hear this. It wasn't something they concocted. It wasn't something Paul and Silas planned. It didn't happen on their timetable. They just simply were praying and praising God and surrendered to the will of God. And God showed up in power and shook the jail, opened the doors, and every one of them got loose. Amen. Amen. But here's the amazing part about this. And of course, you can preach a message on that. And that's how salvation is. God does a shaking of a sinner up, opens up the door so he can get in to get saved, takes off the shackles of sin. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. But Paul cried. And now verse 27, the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. Now, a jailer in that day, the Romans, if he let the prisoner get away, he paid for his with his life. And so he's just going to take his own life and kill himself and get it over with. But he's getting ready to do that and see him with his sword out, getting ready to fall on it, and Paul sees him and cries out. And look what he says. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all. I want you to underline that word all if you mark in your Bible. All here. They wasn't a prisoner in that crowd that ran. Paul stayed. Silas stayed. Now, we expected them to stay because who they are and their character and what they were. But the other thieves and murderers and all the rest of the crowd, they did not a one of them run. He said, we're all here. I believe that this thief over here in the corner somewhere cried out and said, sirs, I hear you praying and saying, say, can you tell me about the one you're singing about? And can you tell me how to get the joy that y'all sing with? Can you help me? And I believe in that prison they was crying out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and telling them the old story, how Jesus saved sinners. And over here's a murderer and he's crying out, I've been so terrible. I did so many things. I've been a drunk and all. Can God help me? And he's crying out and saying, yeah, over here lays one and he hadn't been so bad, but maybe he's a Jewish fella. He said, my religion has taught me differently from yours, or maybe believed in some other religion. And he's crying out, what about me? Jesus loves you too. Hallelujah. I'm glad he could tell their old story. Jesus loves all of them. And so their jail was opened up, and they all, but we're all here. I say glory, hallelujah. Then that jailer, he sprang in and he came and he said, sirs, look at him. Sirs, what must I do? He cried with a loud voice. They said, do thyself no harm. And fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, verse number 30, what must I do to be saved? He'd asked the right question. He realized he needed to be saved. He knew enough to ask that question. He knew he was lost. He knew he was lost. And Brother Bill made a statement a while ago to me that just stuck in my mind. Talking about only thing worse than being lost is being lost and no one looking for you. And he used the illustration of some child being lost out in the woods. And you've seen it on news programs. People flock out to hunt for that child, try to find that person that's missing and try their best. What about those unsaved? They're lost. A lot of times we criticize the unsaved for not going to church. What about the non-going church? The church that doesn't go tell them, doesn't go hunt them. They're out there, they're lost. They need somebody looking for them. I'm glad, praise God, that down in Myrtle Beach, California. I don't even know if it is such a place. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And that meeting they were in down there, that Brother Christian got under conviction so bad. His jailhouse got rocked. His religion got rocked. And his profession had been rocked. And his church membership got rocked. And he got under such conviction. He was like this man come in and run and said, cried, what must I do to be saved? He got Brother Mark out in the parking lot and couldn't even get to the room, fell down on the parking lot and said, I got to get saved now. I say hallelujah. I like it when you want to get saved now. Amen. Not tomorrow. Not some. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I don't care where it's in a parking lot or whether it's in the church service, or whether it's in your car or at home beside the bed, somewhere you need to get saved and know you're saved. Have an encounter with God. That's what happened to this jailer. He got tore up because the door drove, but God used all that singing and praying and all the other men that were still there. He used all of it to get him to see that he too needed to be saved. And he cried out, what's ours? What must I do to be saved? Now notice the sermon that was preached. Don't you see what they said? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Praise God, there's the sermon preached. And those elements of real revival need to be supplication. There needs to be some singing. And it's important that we have singing. There needs to be a total surrender. There needs to be soul winning. There needs to be sermons preached, and will be by the grace of God, by preachers that can preach. Is it going to have, hey, Jubilee's coming, hallelujah. And in my soul, I feel a move of God stirring our hearts and saying, preach on, preacher. Here they are, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That's what Brother Christian did. He believed in his heart, not just his head, but his heart, and gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved and born in the family of God. I say hallelujah. Brother Christian, the best thing that ever happened to you is the fact you really got saved and born in the family of God. Glory, hallelujah. I praise God. I give him glory for that. I praise God for what he did for him. He knows now he's heaven bound, and he's going to be there. I say glory, 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 and praise the name of the Lord. It's wonderful, isn't it? But notice what else happened. And I conclude it with this. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He got saved, said, I want to get baptized. He took care of the men that had been beaten, men he'd mistreated, and he washed their stripes. And then he said, and was baptized. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and they rejoiced. That's what happens when revival comes, rejoicing. They rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. They all believed and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I say hallelujah. There's some in your house not saved yet, but we're trusting God. He's going to shake the jail. He's going to shake the doors open. He's going to move in their hearts. Some sitting here tonight don't know Jesus. You're not really saved. Don't know that you're going to heaven. This is your opportunity to come to know Christ. You say, preacher, I came for some other reason, but don't make any difference why you came. You're here. You've heard preaching. You've heard singing. They've been people praying. They've been folk here tonight that pray for folk to get saved. You're here tonight, and we're trying to reach you for Christ. God's shaking your prison and saying, you need to let God help you. God's calling for you to come. You say, preacher, I'm ashamed. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. You just step out and come to an old-fashioned altar and bow. Get my attention. Get somebody's attention. Somebody knows God. And we'll have somebody pray with you. We'll do whatever needs to be done to lead you to Christ Jesus that you might be saved. Then if you're saved and you need to get close to God, you need to say, Lord, these elements of real revival, I want my life stirred for those. I want to be a part of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. Lord, you teach us in our word that we ought to pray for sinners to be saved. We ought to pray for those that know not Christ. Love them, have compassion for them. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we got saved because you cared enough to come and die on the cross, pay the sin debt, raise from the dead. Now made it possible for us to be saved. I pray you'd help those in this house that's not saved. They'll come to Jesus tonight. I pray for those who came tonight, and you're dealing with their hearts, their lives, these people here that's saved, out of the will of God, dealing with. I pray they'd come and yield it to God. Let you help them. I pray tonight you'd have your way. Just move on the scene and touch. This invitation is your invitation. I pray you bless it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.